Time for Coach Talk on Beginner Triathlete, an opportunity to hear from an active forum member who's a coach and has contributed to the BT community. This time around, it's Brett Daniels from suburban Atlanta, Georgia. Brett, thanks for your time.
No problem at all.
We had a number of questions for you, being involved with Beginner Tri and being a coach. Why and how did you become a coach?
I actually became a coach in the fall of 2004. And what had happened, I'd done my first Ironman earlier that year and was feeling a little lost as to what was next for me in triathlon. I often tell people that once you climb the mountain, there's not really a whole lot of other places you can go. And I'd always been interested in coaching. I have a military background, and as an NCO in the Army, our job was to train soldiers. And so I've always had a teaching and training type of mentality. And so that kind of led me to coaching. And so I decided before I got into coaching full-time, I wanted to go to the USAT Level 1 clinic and get my certification so I'd be all legal before I started.
And do you have a particular philosophy as a coach that you adhere to?
Philosophy as in, I try to be very, very patient with my athletes. One thing that I realize, I'm a guy who has another full-time job other than coaching and a wife and two children. So I realize that life gets in the way sometimes of workouts. So I try to be very, very patient with my athletes when things come up with their jobs or with their family, and you know they may go 2 or 3 days and not be able to work out. And you know my job is just kind of keep them calm and let them know that it's not the end of the world if they miss a few workouts. You know, as far as my approach, every athlete's different. Some athletes need a kick in the pants. They need somebody who's going to be the drill sergeant type and really, you know, stay after them to do their workouts. Other people need a cheerleader that, you know, constantly is giving them the rah-rah speech and telling them they're doing a great job. You know, and some people just want to be left alone. Some people want you to create their workouts, and they want to talk to you once a week and, you know, ask any questions they might have about the coming week's workouts and maybe give some feedback on the prior week's workouts. But for the most part, they just want to go out and do their workouts and improve. So it's really different for each athlete as far as how I approach it.
When you do look at those athletes and you think about people that you've worked with or are working with, what are some of the success stories that come to mind?
You know, some of my proudest moments have really been in the last couple of years. I've helped, gosh, I don't even know how many anymore. I've lost track of how many people I've helped get to the finish line of their first Ironman. And some of them have some pretty amazing backstories as far as coming back from injury, maybe coming from a sedentary lifestyle, maybe coming from, you know, being overweight or whatnot. And it's very, very rewarding to sit there and watch these guys cross the finish line at these races and just see the joy on their faces. To work with elite athletes, and they're great to work with, and it's great when they have success, but it's almost more of a business-like approach with those type of athletes, whereas your age groupers, and especially your first-time Ironmaners, you just get a great sense of accomplishment by watching them and helping them achieve their goals.
Let's talk briefly about, I'll call them gadgets, which they can be a lot more than that, but everything from a heart rate monitor to a power meter to an expensive bicycle. What are your thoughts on all of these different tools and how important they are to the sport, or maybe how not important they are to the sport?
That is a great question, and I mean, if you read the forums there, you can see we've had lots of lively debates regarding this very subject. You know, I really think that in right hands, all these gadgets are great tools, but they're just that, they're tools, and you have to know how to apply them, and if you don't know how to apply them, then you have to have somebody who's working with you that does know how to apply them. If you don't know how to work with a power meter, if you're not versed in power, then it just becomes a very, very expensive bike computer. You see a lot of fancy numbers on there. You get a nice little graph at the end, but You know, it means nothing to you if you're not trained to analyze the graph, analyze the data, and figure out what the key points are in each workout. I think that the advances in when I first started doing this sport 10 years ago, I mean, it was pretty much heart rate monitors, and that was it. You monitored your heart rate, and you used a combination of heart rate and pace and perceived effort, which, you know, for some people who are very simplistic, that might be the best thing for them. But the advances in heart rate monitors, especially, you know, the Garmin's, I think the Garmin 310 XT is probably one of the best devices out on the market right now. It gives you every data point that you could conceivably want, and you can integrate it with your power meter, and it's just one download. And especially as a coach, when I'm coaching remote athletes that I don't see on a regular basis, or that might live in another state or country even, having that data from the Garmin, it lets me see where they're training. It lets me see their training loops and, you know, see if they're training on hilly courses or flat courses or, yeah, it's such a great tool. And, again, you know, it's really personal preference. A lot of people, you know, would rather just go out there and race how they feel, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. You know, your body is going to do what it's going to do, and all these devices are doing is telling you what your body is doing. But that being said, you know, if you're really looking for that extra 1% or 2%, you know, that it might take to qualify for Kona or qualify for Clearwater or, you know, break a certain time barrier, you know, in a half Ironman or in a 5K or 10K or whatnot, these devices really kind of give you that little edge in the right hand so you can get that extra 1% or 2% out of your body.
Along the same lines, or at least I think this is a question that could be along the same lines, when we're talking about a personal coach, when does the athlete that's going by a book or a web training plan or just self-coaching, when should they invest the additional money for a personal coach?
You know, that's really a personal preference. There are athletes out there that I know people that I'm good friends with who've never had a coach and have done just fine. But it comes down to how much time you want to put into your personal preparation. The information's out there. Now, granted, there are a lot of things happening very, very quickly in coaching. I just attended the USAT Arts and Science of Coaching Symposium this past weekend in Colorado Springs, and there are a lot of brand-new things on the horizon that are coming out from the likes of guys like Joe Friel and other people of that nature in our sport. And, you know, if you want to remain on the cutting edge of sport, and like I said, you know, if you're wanting to maximize your potential, you know, that's when you might want to start looking into getting a coach. You know, if you're out there just having fun, if you're out there, you know, for fitness, you know, maybe for weight loss, if finishing times don't really matter to you, you know, if you're just out there to have a good time, really at the sprint and Olympic distance, I mean, you really can get by without a coach and do just fine. When you step into the longer distances, the ultra distances, the half Ironman and the Ironman distance, I think it's important to have a coach just because you need another set of eyes looking at your training. We tend, as athletes, not to be very objective when we're looking at our own training, and that can lead to things like overtraining. It can also lead to where we concentrate on the things that we really like to do. So if you really like to ride your bike, you know, you might have somebody who goes out and spends a ton of time on their bike, but they neglect their swim and run. And then on race day, they end up having a poor swim. You know, they tear up the bike, and then they have a poor run off the bike. When you get into those distances, you know, you might want to look at a coach just to have another set of eyes on your training. But again, you know, that's a personal preference. I've had people that I've coached who have come to me prior to ever doing a triathlon, ever doing a sprint, and they're like, you know, I want to know how to do this the right way from the get-go, from the very beginning. And I've had people who have been in the sport for years and years and years and years, done races of all distances, and finally figured out that they've taken themselves as far as their talents will allow, and they want another set of eyes, and they want somebody maybe with a little bit more experience or insight to help them achieve their goals.
Speaking of having that other set of eyes, on a personal level, last year I was 40 years old, and I was determined, hey, I'm going to be faster than I ever been in my life, and that whole denial thing, I guess. And so last year I focused on a particular marathon and ran the first 200 days of the year without taking a break. Come July, August, my speed peaked and parts started flying off, to use a car analogy. And one of the things that was mentioned to me later that I think was right was that strength training should have been part of what you were doing. Instead of just being focused on the discipline or disciplines, making sure that strength training was part of it. Are you a big advocate of strength training, and is that good advice?
I am absolutely an advocate of strength training. Again, if you read the forums, you know, this is a pretty good hot button topic on there. I'm a huge advocate of strength training simply because the science is starting to prove, there's a lot of new studies out that's starting to prove that strength training, especially functional strength training, really does prevent injury. You're strengthening, you know, you're not strengthening muscles traditionally in the eccentric and concentric motion. You're really training muscle groups and you're training chains. This was another area that was gone over last weekend at the conference, and I'd heard this before, but this kind of reinforced it. The gentleman who spoke said you should train from your fingernails to your toenails, and it's really the truth. Our body moves in chains of movement. Arms and legs don't necessarily move independently of other parts of the body, and you know, I really feel by doing functional strength training, and that's not to say going to the gym and, you know, putting 500 pounds on the squat rack and, you know, and doing, you know, 10 squats at 500 pounds. That's not necessarily what we're talking about. We're talking about a lot of body weight stuff, medicine ball, resistance bands, Bosu ball, stuff of that nature. And I really, really feel like that helps, especially I'm close to your age. I'm 38 and, you know, I feel things breaking down on me when I get that training load too high. I really think that, especially for the athletes, you know, getting up to our age and, you know, the masters and grandmaster athletes, that it's really important to do some sort of functional strength training at least two or three times a week to prevent injury.
And just to wrap up here, I'm curious, you know, is there a number one mistake that you see beginners make? And do you have like a number one tip for beginner triathletes that you offer?
Absolutely. I think the biggest mistake that a lot of athletes make, especially athletes who come from other sports that have been really good at other sports, is they try to do too much too soon. Triathlon is a very humbling sport. And I grew up playing baseball and basketball and football and stuff, and was always pretty good at all the sports that I had tried. I come to triathlon, and I came to triathlon from running. And I remember my first race, I think I was like third from last. It's a very humbling sport. And what that does is, especially, you know, athletes that are very, 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 very competitive, it makes them want to jump on their bike and ride, you know, 300 miles a week. And it makes them want to go to the pool every day, and it makes them want to run every day. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work like that. Now, granted, you do have to train to get faster, but it's like I tell people, endurance sports are an exercise in delayed gratification. You're not going to see the fruits of your labor till well down the road. So the biggest mistake I think that most people make is they try to do too much too soon.
Thank you, Brett. That'll do it for Coach Talk on Beginner Triathlete. For Brett Daniels and all the folks at BT, I'm Kevin Patrick.